Do you love Chihuahuas? Maybe you're wondering if the Chihuahua is the right dog for you.
Perhaps you have a training or a behaviour struggle.
Barking.
Reactivity.
Aggression.
Toileting in the house.
Are you wondering how to socialise your tiny Chihuahua puppy?
Well, look no further.
Here you will find expert opinions, honest views, guest interviews by leading experts in the canine industry, and
training and behaviour advice by two qualified, experienced and professional dog trainers who specialise in small breeds. I'm Kate.
And I'm Hayley. And this is the Chihuahua Podcast. Welcome back to the Chihuahua Podcast. My name's Hayley and I'm with Kate, my co-host. Hello, how are you?
Hello, I am good. I saw a thing the other day that said that our generation is now, our music is now in supermarkets. And it's true. Every time I go to the supermarket, I'm like, oh yeah, I like this song. I used to go to the clubs and now I just go to the supermarket.
Do you ever go to do you ever go into a shop, stay in there a little bit longer because you like the song in there?
Yeah. And then I get in the car and put it on in the car. Before we get started, I want to tell our listeners about my new coat.
Oh, right. Okay. Go ahead.
Mostly because it's dog related and it's by Equicoat, and they're not sponsoring me at all, but it's a really good coat if you like walking your dog. Well, if you walk your dogs in the UK where it's often very rainy, it's such a good coat. It's not very attractive. You look like wearing a tent, but it's really warm and super waterproof.
It's very long from what I can.
It's very long.
It's very long, but it covers what needs to be covered.
It does. It's like wearing a duvet. Highly recommend it. Really waterproof, because my last dog walking coat, it said it was waterproof, but that was a lie.
And you need a coat like this because you walk your Chihuahuas in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Chihuahuas in the wild.
Exactly. In Scotland weather, in the winter, it's a game changer. So I thought our listeners would appreciate that.
You should put a link or something in the show notes. You've got to now, haven't you?
Yeah, if I do that though, if Equicoat's listening though, I want a sponsorship.
Can I have one too, please?
Yes. Yeah, the podcast would like a sponsorship from Equicoat.
Okay. Well, this episode, we're going to talk about body language, aren't we? We're going to talk about body language. This episode is called Body Language Myths. So there are two that we're going to explain, two body language signals, I guess, that are very often misinterpreted by people with their dogs. Kate, do you want to explain what number one?
Yes. So number one is when you approach a dog and it rolls over and shows its belly. This is often misinterpreted as, oh, the dog wants a belly rub. And that's not what the dog is saying. Of course, context is key, but a lot of the time the dog is doing that as a submissive gesture to say, I'm no threat to you, please don't hurt me. The dog doesn't want a belly rub. The dog wants space. So it's actually doing that, asking for space, and it's often misread as the dog wants a belly rub. So it's actually getting the opposite effect of what the dog's asking for.
Yeah, we see it all the time. So belly up, a dog exposing its belly, sometimes it can be, oh, yeah, I want attention, I want scratches, I want belly rubs. But I think, and I don't know if you agree with this, most of the time it's because the dog does not want to be touched. They do not want to be touched. They want distance. It's like a tap out. It's like, no, I'm not comfortable.
Yes. And how can we tell the difference between when it's I want a belly rub and when I don't want a belly rub?
Good point.
Context is key.
And there will be people listening going, oh, no, my dog always wants the belly rub. And what are you talking about? And I think a lot of the time it started out as, oh, I'm not sure, I'm not comfortable. And then it's become like, oh, this is just what my human does. I'm going to just tolerate it.
Yeah.
Right.
And then which is why consent is always really important, doing a consent test. So a good example of when a dog goes onto its back because it does want belly scratches would be if, God, it's tricky, isn't it? Because it's not always, context is important. If a dog approaches you, lies next to you and then shows its belly. And then if you stroke the dog on its belly, take your hand away. Just do 3-second stroke, take your hand away. if they paw at you or make a motion to be. So Casper's actually a good example because he does this. He will approach me, sit next to me, roll onto his belly, and I'll stroke him on his belly for a couple of seconds. I'll stop and he'll do his little hand prayer thing that he does. He puts his hand together. That means he wants me to continue. So I continue and I'll stop and see if he does it again. It means carry on.
That was a really good example. So does Casper come approach you, then lies on his side?
Yeah, so he'll approach, get really close into my leg and then roll over and just flop. So his body language is very loose.
It's very loose.
And he just flops there like this.
What's his tail doing?
His tail is just like neutral. It's sometimes it'll have a little wag. Sometimes he's just a flop of dog.
It's a flop of dog. Yes. Flop of fluffy dog. Okay, Kiri does a similar thing. She doesn't really like, she does like belly scratches, belly rubs, or whatever you want to call them. But she'll approach me, and I do a lot of consent with my dogs, as you know. So I'll always do a 5 second hands on, take my hands off, and see whether that dog wants to continue the interaction. Mm-hmm. She'll approach me. She'll turn her body away from me, so like she'll show like my bum, you know, so she'll face away from me, so she wants sort of bum scratches, as it were.
Yeah.
And then she'll go, actually I want my belly scratched now, or my side scratched, and she'll say where she wants me to touch her, and she'll do that, and then I'll do the consent test on that. So it's sort of similar. Bo will never do that.
Maisie's the same as well. Yeah, Maisie is a good example of when a dog doesn't want a belly scratch, because she sometimes will go over onto her side near you, but it's she doesn't want you to touch her. She just wants to be near you.
So should we talk about when a dog does not want to be, like, showing you its belly because it doesn't want to be touched? And again, context is everything. But I would suggest that when a dog is sort of is approaching you with his ears back, tail tucked under, maybe some little tiny wags, and is kind of crawling to you, then slowly shows its belly and looks a bit there's some tension there, isn't there? So close mouth, because the other thing with dogs that want their belly scratches, they're usually like, you know, they got their mouths out, they're panting, there's open mouth, it's like almost like a play face to it.
Yeah,
dogs that don't want their belly scratched, they are saying, please don't hurt me. Their mouth is usually very tight, and they're like tension. They're moving slowly, more slowly, and they kind of move over slowly to say, oh, I'm no threat, please leave me alone. And usually, like, there's not always, but usually, like, there's their tail's tucked under. And sometimes it's doing like a little tiny puppy fast wag, tiny little wag.
If you approach a dog and it goes over onto its belly, more often than not, that's going to be a dog that wants space, not a dog that wants a belly rub. So you're walking up to a dog and it goes over. That's
absolutely. And that's the other massive thing. Mm. We're talking about dogs approaching us. But usually when a dog will flip over onto its belly is when that person approaches the dog, or, you know, it's leaning over the dog and the dog kind of flips over. That's a definite for me. That's a definite. Oh, sorry, and I'll move back. Like if I'm meeting a dog for the first time, or I'm in a client's house, and not that I will approach dogs anyway, but if a dog does approach me for whatever reason and it flips straight over onto its back, that is a definite sign for me to move away and not towards that dog.
Yeah, give me space.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Casper does an example as well. So at night time, if he is in a bed in the lounge, and I say, shall we go to bed? He'll often be like, he flops on his back. He doesn't want a belly rub then. He is like, no, I don't want to go to bed because I want to stay here. He just flops over and he's like, no, I don't want to do that. Thank you.
What would we call that then?
Well, I suppose in the context, usually I'll walk over to him and say, shall we go to bed? And then that's when he does it, because he's like, he's telling me, no, you go away, because I'm quite happy where I am. I don't want you to come over here, and I don't want to go to bed.
But it's still a distance.
It's asking for space.
Yeah, it's asking for space signal, isn't it? It's still a distance increasing signal. So how many people, I wonder, will go up to their dog in that instance and go, oh, you want a belly rub? You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It's all about the belly rubs, isn't it? I've never thought about my dog wants belly rubs. It's strange, but maybe that's just me being a trainer, but it's all about the belly rubs for some reason.
Yeah, and actually Casper does do it a lot. When he's in one of his beds, if you approach the bed, he will go over. Mm. But I know he's not asking for a belly rub. He's asking me to go away from the bed.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how many of our listeners' dogs do that.
It'd be interesting to see, actually, how many of our listeners are hearing this now for the first time. Should we go on to our body language myth 2? Because this is really interesting as well. A lot of little dogs will do this.
I know. And I've told this to a couple of people and they've been like, I never knew that was the case.
Well, we're going to educate you. Okay, we're going to call this kind of kiss to dismiss. So licking your face, dogs that lick your face. Did you know that not all licks of the face mean, oh, I love you, or I'm giving you kisses? Sometimes, actually very often, it's a dismissive lick and it means please go away.
Yes.
Sorry, everyone.
I know. So I think this is one that often gets overlooked by people, is when the dog licks them, because you see it a lot with dogs. They'll do like a little lick on your hand when they're actually like being like, can you please go away?
Yeah.
Like, can you stop touching me, please? And it's a little, they'll lick your hand and they're like, oh, he loves me because he's giving me kisses. And I'm like, no, that's a kiss to dismiss right there.
Yeah. And you see it a lot. And you posted a brilliant video on your social media, and you see it a lot with children. And the child goes up to the dog and the dog starts licking the child's face. And the parents are like, oh, he loves you, he's giving you kisses. The dog maybe, not all the time, but maybe asking that child to give them space. It's an important one to watch out for, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really important. And you often will see a kiss to dismiss when you put your face in your dog's face, or if you get into their space, or if you touch them when they don't want to be touched and they lick you. That is often a classic sign of a kiss to dismiss, isn't it?
Yeah. And you know what? I see so many, when people pick up their small dogs and their dog is near their face and the dog licks their face, and that person sort of like, you know, allows that or goes, oh my God, he's giving me kisses. I think, and I might get shot down for this, around 90% of those interactions are probably a dismiss and not a kiss. Sorry.
I just think
you see it all the time, don't you?
Yeah, and I do think it's one where people don't realise that licking can actually be a sign that the dog wants you to not be near them or not touch them. But that doesn't mean that your dog doesn't love you.
No. It's just, it's education, it's being aware of what your dog's trying to say. So when a dog wants to sort of give you kisses, what would that kind of look like, do you reckon? Obviously, it wouldn't be a dog that's picked up or forced into any situation. So a dog that's approaching you.
I reckon when they target you.
Target you?
Yes. You know, like if you just sat around minding your own business and then you get chihuahua mobbed.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say that's a kiss to dismiss.
No, definitely not.
Because my two do that to me in the morning. If I'm just sat on, like, having a coffee, I get targeted, chihuahua targeted. Casper will sneak up behind me and Chloe will come full on at me.
Like ambushed.
Yeah, ambushed.
Chihuahua licks.
Yeah. Or when when you come home and they lick you.
Greetings.
Mm. Greetings, yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So Bo will do that. Bo will lick my hands when I come home. I will always let the dogs approach me. I never go up to the dogs. Mm. I'll literally, and you might think this is mad, but I'll literally get on the floor with them. Sometimes they're in my hair. Well, especially Bo, she loves it. Because they're so tiny, I've got to get down on the floor for them. And then she'll start licking my hand, but not like continuously, just like a little lick here and there. And that's definitely not a dismissive lick. That's like a hello, you're home lick.
There's a really good picture of Chloe with Rob Hewings from the College of Scent Dogs with Chloe. Mm. He lay on the floor and she got on his face and was licking him all over. And he was just like...
Yeah. That's definitely kisses.
Yeah, it was definitely kisses. She sought him out as soon as he went onto the ground and got him. Yeah, so that's not a dog asking for space in those situations.
No. Not when a chihuahua's jumping on you.
No. So I know we were only going to do two, but a third one as a bonus content. You know, sometimes when you see dogs that will approach people and then people will pet them, and then when they stop petting them, the dog will go for them.
Yeah.
It's quite a, I don't remember if it's a common thing, but it's a thing that happens. And people are like, but they approached me and then they went to bite me. Why did that happen?
Yeah, well, I think the dog wants to approach you, and depending on the context of things, and if you know the dog well or not, the dog wants to approach you, wants to sniff you, doesn't want to be touched.
Yeah.
Most probably. Just because a dog approaches you doesn't mean it wants to be touched.
No. And
that's
sometimes
a big thing as well. That's a big thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think with those dogs that do that behavior, I think it's a conflict of emotions, because part of them, they want to be social. But another part of that, they don't want to be touched. So it's a conflict there, isn't it? And they feel uncomfortable, and they don't feel like they can leave in the moment of being touched. But then as soon as you stop touching, they're like, oh, this is my opportunity to
tell them
express
not to touch
what I was
me.
Feeling and get away. Yeah.
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 Yeah. It's like, I like you, but not like that.
Yeah.
I want to be with you, but not like that.
Exactly.
They're very selective. And these are possibly dogs that might have some pain, possibly.
Yeah.
So they're like, I want to be close to you, but don't touch me there.
Yeah.
You know, so it might be something to do with pain, discomfort. And and some of these dogs that I see that do this are showing signs when they're being touched. So they'll freeze, they'll lip lick, there might be some whale eye. It's like, is it over yet? Is it over yet? Oh my God, get off me, kind of thing. And then the person will take the hand off and they'll be chatting to someone. And that dog will launch and go, oh, just bit me for no reason.
Because it's often in those scenarios, it's often, isn't it, they're petting, the dog doesn't do anything, the dog, because it's probably frozen, and then when they take the hand away, that's when they go for the bite.
Yeah, body language is key here. It's knowing what to look for, and it very often gets overlooked, let's put it that way.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and it takes practice as well. Like, it's something that we're looking at it all the time, so I can understand why, you know, people that aren't looking at it or studying it or have studied it, why it's hard to see. But I think hopefully these tips will help people to think a bit more about what it is they're actually seeing.
God, I hope so. Because I think a lot of people, again, on this particular subject of the licking especially, can you let us know if this is the first time you've heard about this dismissive licking?
Your exercise for this week, listeners, is to do a consent test with your dogs, film it, post the video in the comments below this post on our Facebook page, and let's have a look at your consent test. So what you're going to do is you're going to stroke your dog 3 to 5 seconds, stop, see what they do. Do they want you to continue stroking, or do they want you to stop, and can you tell the difference? I want you to film it and put it in the comments.
That'll be really interesting. Usually when dogs want you to carry on, they will nudge your hand, they'll paw your hand, or they'll kind of lean into you to say, more please.
Yeah.
If they don't want you to touch them anymore after that sort of 5 second interaction, then they'll usually just do nothing, which is, you know, very interesting, isn't it? But do nothing, or they'll walk away, or they'll look away. So they'll turn their head. Mm-hmm. And there'll be no nudging or pawing or anything. If you've enjoyed this episode, or you need any training or behaviour help, you can find us both at Kate at Carry On Canine, Hayley at Halo Pups, and you can find the posts for the podcast on our Facebook page, The Chihuahua Podcast. Please like, subscribe, follow, tell your friends, and we'll see you next time. Bye.
Bye.